Thanksgiving. Well, I've had a couple thoughts running through my mind the past few weeks. I was asked to fill in for, or actually trade with Gabe for this Sunday, which I thought great because it's Thanksgiving weekend. That'll be an easy sermon to put together, easy topic. But I had another thought in my mind, a thought about the lost. And so I'm going to kind of combine those today, thinking of the lost and thinking of Thanksgiving. Why don't you go with me to the Lord? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the great miracle that you've given us through Jesus Christ, the salvation, the eternity that we can spend with you, the free gift that you offer to us. Heavenly Father, there is no better blessing, no better gift than that. And Lord, we're thankful for that today. And Lord, we're thankful to be called your children. Heavenly Father, we're burdened by the lost and we're thinking of them today also. Heavenly Father, how we'd love to see them in your fold. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Since we got a small crowd today, I'll ask, is anybody thankful for anything today? Anything you'd like to share that you're thankful for?
A warm house.
Warm house. Anything else? Anybody else thankful? Okay. Anything else? Anybody thankful for anything?
Family.
Family. Amen. I thought of a couple things. I put down family, pets, a job, a home. We got to spend a couple of days with our grandchildren, and they were a lot of fun. To see them playing and interacting and watching them develop and grow. Hearing their speech that they'll be able to communicate better. Little Everett is starting to say little phrases, and it surprises you sometimes because he's too little and he'll come up and just say something to you and you're like, how are you talking? How is this possible? But so we're amazed by the grandchildren and their growth and development. Most importantly, Christ and the salvation. We're thankful for that. Whenever I think about things that I'm thankful for, I always go down the path of what am I not thankful for also. I'm a little stuffy. Tammy's had a cough for about 2 months she just can't seem to shake. Or maybe going on 3 months, I don't know, but it's just a cough that seems like she gets better and then it comes back and she's got another cough again. So not thankful for sickness. And our little pony got sick this week and got to spend a couple days at the vet clinic, and we're thankful for the vet, but we're not thankful that that pony cost me so much money to keep around. He's more than doubled his cost, I think, over the years for vet bills, but the vet's happy because it puts their kids through college. But the pony is a joy when he's healthy and he's on the mend, he's doing well. So, but I think of other things that I'm not thankful for. I'm not thankful for war. I'm not thankful for the violence that I see. There's a big list of things you could say you're not thankful for. A lot of things that are negative that we could see and that we could focus on. But we always come back to the Lord, that it reminds us this isn't our home, this isn't our permanent place. This isn't where we're going to be forever. So the negative things that we see, the death, the violence, the things that makes us sad, they're going to be gone someday. They're temporary. But the everlasting love of Jesus Christ is forever. That's permanent. That's something that we can hold on to. I also think about those that are not Christ followers. I had a conversation with the guy at work, and he was telling me things that he was thankful for before the Thanksgiving weekend. And I just had a feeling of emptiness when I talked to him, and just the shallowness of the things he was thankful for. And it was just really surfacey material things that was all he could focus on because he didn't have the eternal perspective. He couldn't see the greater picture. All he could see is the narrow picture of the material things on this earth. But I was saddened after talking to him. Even though he was happy and he was thankful, I was saddened by the fact that he couldn't see the eternal picture, that he didn't know Christ as his Lord and Savior. It made me think of, it'd be like going to a football game, but just standing in the hallway. You could hear the roar of the crowd, but you couldn't see the touchdown. It'd be like going to the zoo in the wintertime when they put all the animals away and you're walking through and you see all the exhibits, but there's no lions, there's no tigers, There's no snakes, there's no alligators. They're all put away for the winter. You miss that joy. It'd be like going to the play and seeing the stage all set up, but you leave before act one. It'd be like going to a concert and seeing all the instruments and seeing the band ready to play, but you leave and you didn't hear a note. It'd be like walking in a museum with the lights off. All these beautiful pictures on the wall, but you missed them. You didn't see any of them. That was like my conversation with my coworker. There's a lot of things he was missing. He's seen some things, he heard some things, he could hear some joy and excitement from the believers, but yet he didn't experience or see that joy. He didn't see that big picture. All he's seen is the shallow, narrow. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And thinking of my coworker, this scripture verse came to mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So my friend was one of these. He was blinded. He doesn't see what I see. He can't see the picture that I see. He can't see the beautiful painting that God created. He was blinded. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. This verse reminds me of a song that has been playing in my head the past couple weeks. And I couldn't put it together because I haven't heard this song in quite a while. It's a song by Jeremy Camp called Dead Man Walking. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. But the song's been playing in my head. And then when I read the scripture verse this week, I knew why. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. So we were dead man walking. Without Christ in our lives, we have a temporary existence. We're not going to be in eternity with Him. We're just like dead man walking. I spend some time, I go a few times a year to the jail to minister with those on Sunday night and have Bible studies with them. Some of the men that come in have seen the light and they've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and others have not. And it's frustrating sometimes talking with them because they just put up a wall and they're blinded by the truth. And we try to present them with the truth and they're just have their blinders on. You know, it's like a horse going down the road. He's just focused on one thing, not looking out. And we try to present the gospel to them and give them some insight and some love, and they have a lot of time to read. So the other Bible-believing prisoners encourage them to join their Bible studies and spend more time with them outside of our Sunday night Bible study. So I pray for those men. I pray that they will see the light and come to Jesus Christ. But for now, they're dead man walking. Their path is destruction. They're not going to have eternal life the way they're going. Sometimes guys that I work with said, you know, they'll make a comment about the prisoners. And I told them, I said, you guys aren't that much different than the guys behind bars. Some of them had made one mistake and landed them there. And I told some of the guys, I know you do the same thing. You just haven't been caught. And so then they kind of get quiet because they know I know, you know, their lifestyle. So there's not a lot that separates us from those men behind bars. I minister to guys that are waiting a sentence, and some of them will tell me, yeah, we're waiting our sentence. It's going to be a minimum of 20 years. I just can't imagine that, sitting there waiting for the judge to give the sentence, but they know the crime they committed is going to be a minimum of 20 years. And so that's their future. That's what they see. I've also seen guys that have been sentenced, you know, for maybe 10 years or so, and they still get to stay in DeKalb jail because they're a low-level felony, so they're staying in the DeKalb County jail. But they have joy in their heart because they found Christ. Even though they're separated from their family, they show this joy that's unbelievable. And I think, how do you have this joy in this circumstance? But they found Christ, and they know they're no longer a dead man walking. They're alive in Christ. They know there's a future, even though they've done things to put them there. Same with us. One sin separates us from God. All of us have sinned in our life. We know people that have sinned in their life. Everybody, nobody's innocent. Everybody without Christ is a dead man walking. But let's continue on in Ephesians. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in us advance to do. So that's a big but. But because of God's love for us, for God's love for our neighbors, for God's love for our family, for God's love for the lost, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Even while we were still sinners, God loved us. Jesus called us. He loves our neighbors. He loves our family. He loves our friends, even those that are lost. He wants them back. He wants them in his fold. So to be separated from God is death. To be in Christ is to be alive. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows Jesus will walk in the light, not in darkness. When we think of those that we talk to that are lost, that can't see from our perspective, it's understandable. They don't have the light. They're walking in the darkness. They can't see from your perspective. We can't talk to them enough to convince them to follow God. We've tried that in jail, and guys get frustrated. The newer guys seem to, when they come in, they want to hammer a point home, and the guys just don't see it. And I remind them of this. They don't see with your eyes. They don't have your perspective. It's the Holy Spirit's job to penetrate that. You're to present the message. You're to present the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's job to pierce that heart. We can't do it by talking, but we know we're walking in the light. We have a different perspective than them. When we look at the politicians and the things that are going wrong in this world and the things they vote for and the crazy laws they come up with, it's because of this. They're walking in the darkness. They don't see with our perspective. They don't have the Holy Spirit filling them to show them the truth. We do. It's our job to present that light to them. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 14. We'll start with 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We are here for a short time. Sometimes it feels like eternity, especially when you're a teenager. I know it feels like, boy, you just can't wait till you're out of your parents' house. You can get on with your life. You can go on to the next step. But I'm almost 50, and it's went really fast. It's went really fast. I remember Mindy when she couldn't even drive a car. It's been a couple years. So it's been a few years, but it's went fast. Our life's just like a mist. And when you think about our friends and family, don't hesitate to talk to them. Don't hesitate to present the gospel. Their life is short too, and it's going to go by really fast. Sometimes when I think about when I see people that are walking down the wrong path, and at first I picture in my mind a speeding car going for a cliff or maybe going for a bridge that's out, and I need to tell them, hey, the bridge is out. And sometimes I think how fast they're going. Well, sometimes they're not in a speeding car. Sometimes they're just walking that path to destruction. And they're just slowly going towards that. And I have a lot of time that I could interact with them, not just a brief moment. But sometimes I wait, and I don't know why. I hesitate. I'm shy by nature. I don't want to approach people. But I really need the Holy Spirit to work in me to get over that, to be able to approach people when I have that chance. Because I might think I have years and years and years to talk to the person, but maybe I don't. Verse 14 says, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So it's short. Your opportunity may be short. So take advantage of that and present the gospel to your friends or to your neighbor. When you see the Holy Spirit prompting you, jump on that chance and present the gospel to the neighbors. And turn to Romans chapter 5. This will be our last verse. So everybody stand with me while we read this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, and you feel like I'm a sinner and I'm dirty, Christ died for you. Even if you think I'm perfect and I've never made any mistake, you have, and Christ died for you. Christ died for us. Christ died for the filthiest person you can think of. Christ died for that person too. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When he came and he was eating with the sinners, the Pharisees said, why are you with those sinners? He said, I didn't come for those that were already perfect. I came for those that were lost. He came for everyone, even though the Pharisees couldn't see it. He came for them also. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you came for us, that you came for the lost, you came for the sinners. Heavenly Father, there's nothing we can do to earn our way into your good graces. You are graceful and merciful all on your own. You love us for who you are. You love our neighbors for who they are. Heavenly Father, just fill us with the Holy Spirit. Show us the opportunities that we have to minister to those around us, to share our love with them, to share your grace with them. Heavenly Father, just fill us with the Holy Spirit this week. We all know somebody that's missing out. They're not seeing the big picture. They're a dead man walking. Heavenly Father, we know you can breathe life into their dead bones. You can bring them back to life. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful today. We're grateful for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.